Well, welcome back to Travel Writers Radio, Kristen Henning, who's a Minnesota-based member of IFTWA. And we spoke to Kristen, oh, I don't know, was it a month or so ago? She is one half of the couple that sold the family home and decided to be sort of nomadic in their existence. And where are you now? Are you on the road still, or are you with family?
We are with family, and it's ironic you start with that, because we actually found out in the interim since that last interview that our son and daughter-in-law are expecting a baby, which is wonderful news, except for the fact that we were staying with them when we were in town. So we had to quickly hustle and find a new place to stay when we're in town. So we have found that place. it was great news.
We're talking to you today about a visit you made to Bali, Indonesia, which for some people in Australia is almost like a weekender. The people in Western Australia and up in Darwin, they shoot across to Bali just like going for a drive in the weekend. Of course, they fly. But you particularly went up to Ubud, which I know is a really popular part of Bali. So tell me about that, Kristen.
Yeah, and from what I know, it isn't quite the concentration of Australians in Ubud as it is on the coast, but be that as it may, we went there because Tom has a cousin who lives there part-time, and we went to visit her, and we ended up staying for about 6 weeks, renting a place, and in the process discovered the wonderful town of Ubud, but more to our liking, we discovered the culture of the area, and primarily that was through a guy named Agung Rai. And Mr. Agung Rai is now the proprietor of an art museum called ARMA, Agung Rai Museum of Art, and that has grown to also be a resort and a restaurant, but it's really centered on the art. So we, being art lovers, went off to visit the museum one day, and included in the museum entry is a cup of tea in the restaurant afterwards. So we were sitting there enjoying our cup of tea and ended up talking with this gentleman who was Agung Rai. And we learned just in conversation that he conducts, upon request, a tour of the area outside of Ubud so that you can see the villages and the more rural culture of the area. So we signed on, and it's called the Golden Hour. And it's called that because it starts at 6 in the morning. And he is, as the art appreciator that he is, he really does the tour at that time to maximize on the beautiful lighting and also on the way in which the villagers and the school children are starting their day. You get to see a lot of the rhythm of the villages.
So you actually recorded an interview with Agung Rai, which we'll play now, and then we'll come back after Mr. Rai's finished chatting with you. And there's some sound effects in there too of some of the local early morning animal life. So our listeners can get a real sense of the experience that you enjoyed. Then we'll come back and we'll chat about that.
Like now it's totally different than later on after 9, you know, the temperatures change. This is just like Frisco, look at it. Look at it. It's green up and green up and green, the layer, look at it. So we are very lucky. The light is so good. And this route is very new.
Yes, you can see.
Very new. You to connect it one village to next village. And still part of Ubud. This is, we call, also call it beyond Ubud. Yeah. And most of people, when they came to Ubud, in their mind only think about palace, market, and then monkey forest. Yeah. There, shop. That can be anywhere. But this is the most important to see. And visitor doesn't know, you know. I have to telling them, I have to explaining to them, I have to showing them. And I'm sure this is what they hope to see when they're in Bali. You know, this is what we love to share with them. They came from long way, far away, they come here and they see only shop, the same place. You know, and it's not interested, you know.
No.
Because so many nice places in the world, you don't have to come to Bali for that.
Yeah, you can go to shops.
Oh,
anywhere.
You can shop anywhere you want it. And look at from here now, look at.
Is this the temple we're
Yes,
on?
look at. So beautiful, look at that. Can you see? Beautiful. It's a different green. That is the temple on the top of the hill, the trees, the nature, with the sunny, not too very soft. It's like photograph. It is like it's a painting, you know. So can you see the layer, the valley, the river long? And when I sweep it up, look, no machine. Can you hear the song of nature? The cricket, the birds. Can you hear that?
Mm-hmm.
And this is temple. You know, this is temple for Shiva.
Okay.
In the aspect of destruction or recycle.
Mm-hmm.
And this is Durga temple.
So Shiva is Shiva the destroyer, but you must have destruction before you can have rebirth, before you can have...
Yeah. Yeah. And this is Durga. Durga, Shiva is one. The opposite of Shiva is Durga. The opposite Durga is Shiva.
Okay.
Like, you know, opposite. East, west. Look at that. This is still egalitarian society. Look at that. We are not even 10 minutes from where I met you, Arma.
Uh-huh.
Arma Resort. This is totally different planet. And this is real Bali. You can see the uniqueness of nature.
Well, Kristen, Agung Rai sounds like a tremendous chap. He has a certain way of speaking, doesn't he? He almost sounds to me like a priest or somebody with a very, very spiritual element to him.
It is a spiritual tour, and you get to see very closely how intertwined in the culture of Bali the nature, the land is with the villages, with the temples, and the gods as well that he's talking about and referring to in there, who are exemplified in day-to-day life. What really stood out to me was watching the children carrying their offerings to school and seeing everybody, all ages, the kids, the old men, everyone sweeping up in front of their homes every morning. It is just such a cooperative feel to it. And you can really tell that everyone is inextricably tied to the land and nature, and that is intertwined in their religion as well. I mean, he mentions that they're an egalitarian society. What he also mentioned to us, I think, outside of this interview, is that people still believe in karma there. And there is just an incredible unstated partnership among people and among villages.
Mm.
It's really exemplified, too, in the rice fields. They use a system called subak, which is managed use of the water from the mountains down to the lowlands, so that every stage of the system gets water when they need it. If they don't have the water, the pests come in, and if they if the people up high in the mountains take all the water, then that's not good for people lower down, and then the pests move up. So it's just, in the 70s, that system was disrupted when some of the big companies came in and said, oh, you need our fertilizers. And, the production went down and they realized there were a lot more problems. And it's just a fascinating system of cooperation that is, in fact, administered through the temples.
Interesting.
So it's all intertwined. But he's a fabulous guy to spend an hour with. And it really does make you pause and listen to the beautiful sounds and the water and see the millions of shades of green.
Such a far cry from Denpasar and also Kuta, which is where a lot of Aussies tend to concentrate their time and their energy to get up into the mountains. It's a bit cooler up there too, Kristen, isn't it?
Yes, maybe it's relative. I come from the North Country, and I was there in December, and it was so hot. I would just...
you think about moving and break into a sweat. Yeah, well, obviously you've really related to that part, and I know there's a writers' festival up there, and we've done a story on the show, I might have done a couple of stories actually, on the writers' festival, which attracts quite a culture-loving crowd, mm-hmm. many of them from Australia, and there's a lot of Aussies working over there in various capacities, so... an interesting place to visit, and certainly you've put a different spin, I think, for some of our listeners on the opportunity when you go to visit Bali. So can you just turn up at this Armour Museum and ask for Agung Rai, or how does it work?
You can do that. The best way to arrange ahead is to email or phone. The email is sales@armabali.com. And you can look up Arma Bali, A-R-M-A-B-A-L-I .com and just contact them through that. He really, he manages these tours on an availability basis. So the reason to inquire ahead is just to reserve a spot. There are no more than 6 people on a tour ever. And it's based on his availability. It was just the two of us and we just walked into it. It's $50 US mm-hmm. per person. And we ended up buying art, too. It's certainly not expected, but we ended up back at his cultural center in the museum where he was, but part of his institution is really building up preservation of the culture. And so we happened to walk in on a dance class of very young children learning the traditional dance of Bali. We learned a lot about Balinese art, and in fact Agung Rai has been responsible for bringing a lot of art that was purchased and carried off by Westerners back to Bali. That's really why he got interested in collecting and then eventually showing the art. That's how it all started, just to preserve that awareness of the Balinese culture.
It's been terrific talking to you. We've run out of time, would you believe, and We'll look forward to talking to you again shortly.
All right, great.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Well, it was Kristen Henning whom I was talking to, and she'd just been to Ubud in Bali where she met with Agung Rai. I loved her little frog recordings. I don't know whether she got permission from the frog to do that, but it just...
Did she ask for the autograph?
Yeah, it just added a little touch of... nature and authenticity to the piece. Well, it-